Okay, today is the 29th of October, 2018. The calendar's gone.
20th of Chesh.
20th of Chesh on Tavshin Ayin Tes. And it is a Halacha Day of Perek Vav of Bamidbar. And Bruce requested that if we're going to do Halacha Day, we should do Halachas of the Nesias Kapayim, of the Mitzvah of Berkas Kohenim, of Duchening, as it's known, that are found at the end of the Perek. So we'll do that. We'll take a look there and to figure out which Halachas should cover. Now, we have covered a few things having to do with Berkas Kohenim before in this forum. Most notably, Halacha Day of Vayikra Perek 8 was why Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't do Birchas Kohanim. What are the possible reasons? So in terms of disqualifications from Birchas Kohanim, who's not allowed, so we covered that then. But we'll talk about now as well. In order to figure out what to cover today, I went to the Torah Tmim itself, see what halachos are actually learned out from the psukim themselves, and sort of went from there. So the first thing that was learned out from the psukim was Daber al Aaron v'al banav l'emor, this pasuk chaf gimel, Kosavarchu es b'nei Yisrael emor lehem. This is how you should bless b'nei Yisrael and say unto them, and then list off the bracha. Now the Gemara right away, not the Gemara, the Torah Tmim makes a comment here based on a Rashi. It's interesting that he quotes a Rashi, but the Gemara in Maseches Ksuvah stuff, Chafdal and Amud Beis, is discussing the issue of if a person does Birchas Kohanim, can you rely on them for the? Can that be enough to prove that their Yichus is correct, that they actually have Kohen lineage? Just because a person gets up and does Birchas Kohanim, can we say, he's for sure a Kohen, and for all the things that entails? Sounds like,
I think that's backwards. I mean, wouldn't let him go up and do Birchas Kohanim.
Well, it's like a guy shows up in town and then says,
I do Birchas Kohanim, so therefore I'm going.
Or do we then trust him with regards to marrying off children, things like that? Would we trust him? Is there also, let's say, his son is married to a divorcee. All of a sudden, his father shows up. His father gets up on Yatif and does Birchas Kohanim. We say, we have an issue with you now. All right? Is there that kind of standing? So the Gemara makes a comment that says, Rashi makes a comment, that you are a violation in Asay, that a person who goes ahead and does, that we could rely on it, because a person who does Birchas Kohanim that really isn't supposed to, that isn't a Kohen, he is in violation of a mitzvah's Asay. He's in violation of a positive command, which is a little bit of a strange concept, but the Torah tells us that Kohanim do Birchas Kohanim, and he's a non-Kohen doing Birchas Kohanim, so he's in violation of that positive precept. That seems to be what we are saying. As it says, Kosevorah tembelo zarim, v'lap abal mikal asay, and a prohibition that comes from an asay is a violation of an asay. That is the comment that the Gemara itself makes. So, based on...
He would be
excluded. Okay, he would be excluded for a different reason.
He can't.
He would be excluded. I mean, what do you mean? What's the issue?
I'm saying, can he still go up and...
A Kohen who is in violation of the Yisurim that are specifically connected to a Kohen loses his privilege of doing Birchas Kohanim. So if a specific Kohen prohibition would be marrying a divorcee, or marrying a Gioris. There's also a mention there in those Psukim, it talks about not cutting your payas, which is a little bit of a knot, like what's it doing there? So Rav Shechter pointed out that it's to tell you that this is also a Kohen prohibition. It's a specific Kohen prohibition, so if a Kohen doesn't have his hair cut appropriately, he would also be excluded. So there's a few, or if he's a funeral director, right? So I just thought of that right now, but what?
That's tumah. I mean, you can't do anything.
What do you mean?
Not supposed to be
a tumah? You can't go into the basement?
No, I understand, but maybe a Kohen, most Kohanim are tummy mace, just like we're tummy mace. They're born in a hospital. At some point, they might have been... Right, but we're talking about a person who has... Yes, but he has sort of denied his Kohen status. So, I mean, a person runs into a cemetery, right? So we wouldn't say you're hereby disqualified, you lose your Kohen status going forward.
Right.
But we would say, if a person makes it a habit, this is what they do, they are constantly involved in this prohibition, then and they haven't
They can't do it.
So it appears that I haven't come across this issue, but I would say my first answer is yeah. That if a Kohen has a job as the funeral director, that's what he's involved in on a daily basis. So he has lost his privileges along with being a Kohen. I would assume that, although you know, if the question actually came up, I would look into it a little more deeply. So there, but those are the people that would be excluded. We talked about that in the other. I will reference the other Berachas Kohanim shir that we gave by Yigur Perek Ches, available on Y.U. Torah, for some of the things having to do with Moshe. Moshe killed somebody, right? That's also a disqualification for doing Berachas Kohanim. So maybe I end that shir. I want to focus here, however, that there is this Isser Asse. That's what the Gemara. That's what Rashi tells us in Maseches Ksuvos. Now there is a toast. The dark emote. It's right off the bat in Shulchan Aruch. It mentions this halacha. Ein nesis kapayim pachos miyud kohanim miyud vakohanim miyaminyan. This you don't do Berachas Kohanim if you have less than 10 people. Kohanim count, meaning could be a minion of 10, even if it's 3 of them are Kohanim, you can still do Berachas Kohanim. And then the Ramah adds in here, or we assume it's the Ramah, V'ein zar lisa kapav afilu im Kohanim acherim, that a non-Kohen is not permitted to do Nisiyas Kapayim, even if there are other Kohanim present. And then he adds in, zar over ba'asi kosis gemar in Ksuvis, the Rashi in Ksuvis, plus a zar violates Mrs. Asi when he does so. However, there is a toast in Perikol Kisvei, Perikol Kisvei is Masechta Shabbos, where the Ri doesn't really understand what the Isser is. So the Darkei Moshe has this back and forth. Darkei Moshe quotes that Tosos, where the Ri seems to not be somewhat bewildered as to what the prohibition is. And Tosos says, why is he so bewildered? It's a Mefeirish Gemara Maseches Ksuvos that there is an Isser Asse, that you're in violation of this positive precept if you do Berachas Kohanim and you're not a Kohen. So what's Tosos so? What's he wondering so much about? To which Darkei Moshe, who is the Ramah, who kind of says, well, it could be that Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos is talking about a person who goes up to do Berachas Kohanim and he's the only dude there. Right, he's the only one doing it. So if he's the only one doing it, that already is, you're already find yourself in possible violation. I mean, what is the violation that you are doing? So he said, Darkei Moshe says, well, maybe the only prohibition you're doing is making the bracha. You're doing the bracha levatala. Yasher ki yishan asav etzivanu. Right, you're not allowed to do make a bracha levatal. So that's an issue if you're the only one doing it. But if you're just going up and you're going to wave your hands and not make the bracha, but say the bracha, the birchas kohanim suggests the Darkei Moshe, then maybe you wouldn't actually be in violation of the din. That is the suggestion there. Now there is.
You're not a kohen.
Even if you're not a kohen, I mean, what are you violating? Right. What is the issue?
It's coming for the kohanim.
Correct. So, that's how we started. That's a Rashi in Maseches Ksuvos. But there's a Tosus in Shabbos where the Re of Tosus raises, kind of says, I'm not sure what the prohibition is. I'm not sure what the issue is. So, in order to answer that dialect of the Torah, that question, the Darkei Moshe seems to settle on this. So it could be that the Gemara in Ksuvos is talking about is a guy who gets up there. And by the way, there's an effect of that, right? That Gemara is talking about, can we use him standing up there as proving that he's a Kohen? So maybe it only means, if he stands up there by himself, yes. But if he just gets up there and hangs out with everyone else, the other Kohen, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe that's what that Gemara was talking about. So that is one possibility. Now there is a famous Torah Tamima here where he does point out that there's many non-Kohanim who do Berachas Kohanim, and nobody assumes that they're Kohanim. Right? This is done on a regular basis, including probably by many people in this room.
Every Friday night.
That's right. If one does Berachas Abanim or Berachas Abanos, so they are saying the Berachas Kohanim with their children, right? So why is that okay? So before we get to the Torah Tamima, this quote from the Bi'ur Halacha. The Bi'ur Halacha also on this first, right in the beginning here, raises this issue. He says, "Yishlit mo'al minog olam," right? We're in wonder of the minog that everybody does, or many people do, "shenogim levarech echad l'chaber," that people give brachas one to another, right? Beishu kohen ozar, whether the kohen is not a kohen, beish shemalva oso b'loshen yivarecha, when they're taking him, escorting him someplace, That's what he's referring to. But we do it Friday night. I remember when I was a kid growing up, so we used to, the rabbi, he used to, the youngest of the Holocaust, he used to have a long row of children. Everybody would go up and they would get a bracha from the rabbi, and then you would go on the other side of the bima and get a lollipop from the guy on the other end. Right? So he gave a bracha to everybody with his hands up. Now, it happens to be he's a kohen. Happens to be the rabbi of my shul, Rabbi Krauss, was a kohen. So maybe that makes it, so he doesn't necessarily suffer from this tamua of the bir alacha. But we still have this issue. So there are two things that he suggests here. Number one, but one of them he seems to be rejecting. One of them is that it's only an issue of birchas kohanim if it's done in the context where we normally see birchas kohanim, meaning if it's part of tefillah, that it's part of tefillah, and you get up in front of the whole shul and you raise your hands in front of the whole shul. He says that's going to be a problem. But if it's not in the context of that, so maybe you don't violate the din. Now, he has a problem with that, that, well, who says? Meaning, there's a din d'oraisa. The din d'oraisa is, this is how Kohanim should give a bracha. Now, how was that then employed by us? So we established that mitzvah as taking place during davening. But what's the mitzvah d'oraisa? The mitzvah d'oraisa is that Kohanim do it. Just because we say, oh, we're only going to do it in the context of davening, it's a little hard to say how. Oh, then you don't have to worry about this this issue anymore of a non-Kohen giving brachas. Unless you say that is an automatic kavanah. I mean, the person is having kavanah that I am hereby not doing the mitzvah of birchas Kohanim, I'm just giving the bracha. It's a little hard to read into people's thoughts in that particular way, especially because their kavanah is to give the bracha, right? That's what they're trying to do. There is a idea, the Zmirah Tzur Mishalo, we know the Zmirah Tzur Mishalo? Tzur Mishalo, right. So Rosh Hashanah will point out in Shir that that's problematic to sing that song, right? Why is it problematic to sing that song? It's not anything to do with theology or anything like that, because the phrases are all benching. It is like a piyut mimicking benching. Hazan, 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 hazan es olama. Right? That's the first bracha of benching. And it actually follows the pattern of benching. So the problem is, if you're going to sing Tzur Mishalo, you're already yotzei benching by singing Tzur Mishalo. So then go back later and benching again is problematic. So I remember when we were in Shia, someone raised the question of, well, could you have kavana shalo latzeis? Right? Can you have kavana that I'm not going to fulfill my mitzvah of benching? So it was like, well, I guess in theory, but then what are you doing? Right? The whole point is praising Hashem for these things. That's why we sing Zmirus. So I'm having kavana to praise you, but I'm really not having kavana to praise you. Like, it's a little hard to bifurcate in that particular way. The second thing that he says is that perhaps the only violation of a non-Kohen doing Birchas Kohanim is if you raise both of your hands together. That if you raise your hands in the way that the Kohanim do, and we'll get to this in detail a little bit more later, if we have time, that would be the violation of this din. But if you do it in an unusual, if you don't do it in the way that Kohanim do, so then you should be okay. So the Torah Tamima actually... So the Torah Tamima quotes that that Rav Yecheskel Landau, my Alta Zaidi, before his wedding, got a bracha from the Vilna Gaon. Right, you got to work out how the ages work exactly. But he got a bracha. He was younger than the villain. They got to work out the years. But that's what the Torah Tamima says, that the Rabbi Cheskel Landau, the Rav.
He would have to be young. What's wrong with that?
Right, he doesn't necessarily have to be younger, but just you think he would be. We're not talking about a slouch, we're talking about the Rav of Prague, although it was before that time. He said, "Vanisha mati mi'isha munim that shagrami vilna berech es hagon," and I think it's talking about Reish Yud Ches, Rabbi Cheskel Landau. Right? Unless maybe it's talking about somebody else. But de Vilna, b'shas kupaso, at the time of his chuppah, that before his wedding, he went to the Gra, and the Gra gave him a bracha, v'iniach yodo achas al rosh. Right, b'shas ha-bracha. And only put one hand on top of his head at the time of the bracha. V'shalmu al-kach. And we actually asked him about it. V'heshiv kilo matzinu bracha b'shtei yadayim rak l'kohanim b'mikdash. We don't find a person giving a bracha with two hands, except for kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Or I guess we would extend that to Berchas Kohanim Mizer. V'zulazel lo re'isi v'lo shemati mishir v'zer. Right, and we don't. But outside of this, I never heard things like this. V'ara nifl, which is a right. It's an interesting ha'ara. V'dochik lomer the whole ikar mitzvah is kaim hirach betzibur basar mishum davar shabitish. Right, it's hard to say that raising your hand that the mitzvah of Berchas Kohanim is only in the tzibur and only with 10 people. Right, it seems like it would even the mitzvah do rice would be outside of that context. So therefore, we have to differentiate even outside the context types of tefillah in order to show that this is not actually the Birkas Kohanim. So it says from the Gra that he would do it specifically with one hand instead of two. So that is many Litvaks have that. I don't know Litvaks, but many people have that minhag of when giving their children brachas to use one hand rather than two. He points out in the Piskei Teshuvos that not many still use two, but that's the story with regards to that. There is an issue of, okay, are you disqualified if you're a Baal Mum? Does Baal Mum get disqualified from being a Berachas Kohanim? So we talked about that in the Shir, it's talked about here in the Beir Halacha early on as well. He says that maybe a Tumtum and Androgynous perhaps qualifies as a Baal Mum, but they would be disqualified, not necessarily because they don't qualify as being a Kohen, but because they might not qualify as being male, right? So Tumtum and Androgynous should be, they are dissuaded from doing Berachas Kohanim, but other than that, Baal Mumim are permitted to do Berachas Kohanim, except for the issue of whether it would be seen from the outside and distracting and things like that. They are permitted. I, in the base of Migdash, am not allowed to do the Avoda, so we distinguish. They're not necessarily...
Blemish.
A Baal Mum, one who has a blemish. So why is that? Because this is not necessarily, this question is when one learns the laws of Berachas Kohanim, is it an Avoda type thing, or is it an independent mitzvah? So that's a... But it seems like based on this it would be an independent mitzvah because it's a bracha that is given to Daber al Aaron ve'al banav lemor. Speak to Aaron and his children. What does it not say? Speak to Kohanim. So even though a Baal Mum may be disqualified in some ways from being a Kohen, even though they are entitled to the Matnas Kahuna, the gifts to the Kohen, but they might be disqualified from a Kohen title, they are not disqualified from Aaron Ubanov title. And therefore they are permitted, Baal Mum are permitted to take part in Berachas Kohanim. Thus? Yeah, alright, that's what we're saying. But they're disqualified from doing that vote in the Beis HaMikdash.
Right,
so...
You could say that Moshe would be disqualified.
Yes, they talk about that in that year. That's one of the, I think, four reasons why I suggest that Moshe would not do Berachas Kohanim. Okay.
Because he killed the Egyptian. No?
Well, that was a different reason. That's a different possibility. Talked about that in that year. Ayin Wayu Torah, Vayikra 8. Halacha from Vayikra 8. Okay, you didn't speak. All right. What else do we got here? What if a person is a Suffolk Kohen? These things come up as much as that. A person is a Suffolk Kohen, they're not really sure. So there is a tshuva from the Ksav Sofer that is quoted in the Piskei Teshuvos, where he said, I didn't look up inside, but this is the way he's quoted, that you only go up if you have another Kohen, you don't make the bracha, when you make the brachas, so you make it al Tanai, that I'm not doing, if I am a Kohen, this is Berachas Kohanim, and if not, I'm just saying the words of Berachas Kohanim to everybody and not fulfilling the mitzvah. We generally don't, as a rabbi, I generally try not to give people these kinds of advice, like do this and have the following in mind while you do it. It doesn't seem to work very well, but this is a specific circumstance. I mean, specific circumstances sometimes call for specific pieces of advice. Okay, another myth idea that is learned out from the psukim themselves appears in the Gemara in Maseches Sota, where we say as following. Amr Lahem, Kotavarchu, Panim Keneged Panim. It learns out a few things from Amr Lahem and compares it to other areas of halacha. So, for instance, Hanaran Kotavarchu, Panim Keneged Panim. That maybe you have to be face to face. Maybe it should be face to someone's back, that the Jews should turn around. Tamalur, Amr Lahem, like a person speaks to their friend. Also, Amr Lahem, Hanaran Kotavarchu, Bukol Ramoin, maybe only quietly. Therefore, it says Amr Lahem, like a person speaks to their friend. So, we have to say it out loud. Also, Amr that there should be a chazan that is a Yisrael is also learned out from Emor Lehem. Oh, I'm sorry, from Kot Tavarchu. There's a couple things also. That you have to raise your hand. Another one is that you have to stand. Right? Just as when at our Grizim and our Eva, when it says you shall stand in order to bless the Jewish people, so to Berchas Kohanim, one has to stand. Now, all of these are quoted the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So, in Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Chav Ches Sif Yudalad, it says, "Ein Mevarchin, don't make the bracha, Ella B'loshon HaKodesh," meaning it has to be in Hebrew, "Uva Amida, and standing up, uvenasiyas kapayim, and raising our hands, uvekol rab, and loudly. So all of those are things that we do, and all of them are things that we're used to, and all of them, in theory, could disqualify people in a somewhat embarrassing way, right? There could come the context of a person who is not able to perhaps fulfill all of these conditions. Is there room to be able to get that, allow them to do Birchas Kohanim as well? So I remember the Rabbi Leibowitz, in one of his From the Rabbi Desk series, raised the issue of, oh, I see Alan Pell, if no Kohanim aren't Bechorim allowed, I don't believe we pass them that way, Alan. It's a thing, but I don't think we do that. So he raised the issue of somebody who, I think he described as being in a hotel for Pesach, and there was an entire family, like a four-generation family, great-grandfather, grandfather, father, son, all Kohanim. I think somebody had bought them all matching socks, so they all do Birchas Kohanim, they all have the same socks. But meanwhile, great-grandfather, who was going to Birchas Kohanim with the next three generations, was in a wheelchair and couldn't stand. So what does one do in that context, right? It seems like he should be disqualified here. So again, elabam mida, the standing. So the Mishnah Berurah says here, haynu shei kohen bam mida, that the kohen may have to stand. A tzibur, someone in the congregation, he could sit. Rak shiyu panim kedeged panim, so long as he's facing the kohanim, the minhag is everybody should stand, but okay. But with regards to the kohen, shiyu chalush, that is weak, ve'enu yachol lamud, is unable to stand, el al yedei smicha, except for by leaning on something, Lo yisa kapav to huki yeshiva, shouldn't raise his hands because he's like he's sitting and he's not fulfilling the requirements of Birchas Kohanim. So the black on white, Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah seems to say if you can't stand, you can't do Birchas Kohanim.
We said before that you don't even have to be a Kohen to go up there. If you're not...
Oh, okay. So hold on. So what is the next... So is there room around this? So one thing that Pesach Tshuva says, one idea is as well, let's say you could stand at least for the words. Meaning you can kind of like get up or be helped up and be able to stand for a moment for the words. You just can't stand for the 3 minutes with all the singing that goes on. So would that be okay? So he suggests that, yes, that would be okay as long as you're standing for each bracha word that you're giving. So that would be okay. Now, I don't know. Not sure if that really helps in reality. I mean, how many words are, it's a haiku, right? No, not a haiku. 3, 5, 7, right? So you're pretty much standing and sitting, right, 15 times, right? Am I arithmetic right? 15 times in a 3 minute span. I'm not sure it really works for such an individual. Now, there is, the Be'er Heitev here does say, however, that he kohen zakein v'sovei yamim, that someone who's older, umikoach cholesha ziknaso enu yacholama, because he's weak, he's not able to stand, kenose kapav, like somebody who's raising their hands, im yachol lismoch mato, that if he could raise his hands while leaning on something, that's better. V'imlav yisa kapav v'yushav, that he could raise his hands while sitting. The ein levatlo minesias kapayim, but we don't want him to lose the mitzvah. The over v'gimel asin, but he violates three mitzvahs asin. The Gemara makes this reference that there's three different commands here about doing Birchas Kohanim. So you lose three mitzvahs asin by not doing it. So better that he goes ahead and does it. This is in the name of the Shavus Yaakov. V'yad Aaron, however, Cholik Alav disagrees. The movement Havili Kuvan, so standing is Ma'akiv, Umuto Shiyavor Gimel Asin, better that you violate those three Asis or don't fulfill them than to do Birchas Kohanim while sitting. So it's problematic. However, Sam pointed out the Eitzah that, look, if it's really that big of a problem, so first of all, so you could maybe make a case that he could do it with everybody else. You run into a policy issue of, it's one thing giving an individual that advice. It's another thing giving an individual that advice to stand in front of the entire shul, to not stand in front of the entire shul, to do it in front of the entire tzibur. It is a difficult public policy issue, but in terms of the din itself, one can make a case that you can say, all right, go up and don't make the bracha, don't make the bracha and say it with everybody else. You run into another issue of, is he losing out on getting the bracha from the kohen, right? By getting up, you then miss out on that. Also an issue that would need to be worked out. It needs to be judged on an individual basis.
He's not facing the kohen.
Right. Correct. Right. Another issue would be by Nesias Kapayim, that by raising the hands themselves, that also is Makiv. And where do you need to raise your hands? That they should be like above your head. And the Mishnah Berura said, the Pesach Yeshua says, well, at least up to your shoulders. Meaning the hands need to be raised above by the shoulder. That's also a challenge for people. The slipping of the fingers is not necessarily Makiv. That's not necessarily required. But that's Pizor that perhaps came later. But the Torah does say that, but it is learned, not the Torah, it doesn't actually say it explicitly, but it's learned down from Sukkim, that you do have to raise one's hands, just like when Aaron gave a bracha, he raised his hands, and said, here you need to raise your hands. So what happens if you can't raise your hands? So the Mishnah Berura says, I have an idea, why don't you develop some type of hat where the guy's arms will be like hung from the hat. The Mishra says, no, don't bother designing that, because that's not going to work. He raises that issue, but Kovash Barosha Biyachis Vahem Yad, you're going to put your hands in this hat. He says, that doesn't work, because that's like leaning, that's like sitting down. That doesn't work. He needs to actually be holding his hands out. So what happens if he can't do it? So the same issue. Probably really shouldn't do Birchas Kohanim, but if you get into that situation where it's embarrassing, Kavod HaBriyah, those kinds of things, perhaps one can work out a leniency. A couple other things that we... Kol Ram. Kol Ram needs to be loudly. So what does it mean, Kol Ram? How loud is loud? What does it mean to be loud? So the Mishnah Berurah uses the terminology of Kol Ram Hainu, but Kol Beinoni. At least a medium voice, as opposed to doing it quietly. Okay, what's a medium voice and what's considered quietly? So the Pesach Yeshuvah, he gives the shear of, can it be heard by 10 people? Not necessarily it needs to be heard by the entire room, but can you be heard by 10 people? That's loud enough to be able to do Birchas Kohen. What about not looking?
Yeah, well, is that a halacha or that's some sort of...
No, so that is a real din, lest one be distracted by the Kohanim. So there is an idea not to look. And that's kind of led to these things of covering people up and all these kinds of things. It probably is not is not required. Maybe it's because the Kohanim keep their hands themselves covered. So many assume that perhaps is a lack of panim keneged panim to cover one's face up and to hide and those kinds of things. So I talked about that in the Birchas Kohen and Mythbusters here a couple of years ago, also available on YU Torah. So I discussed that a little bit more at length there. But I don't believe that one has to go wild trying to make sure that they don't see. One should face the Kohanim, not to look particularly at the hands. But it is not necessarily the worst thing if one sees them. And it's also not a... And it's also not really visible because their hands are supposed to be covered.
But it's not an embarrassment.
Well, the Gemara does make a comment about something with one's eyesight, I believe. I didn't prepare this for today, but I believe the Gemara does make that comment, and you have to figure out, okay, why? What exactly? That one will lose their eyesight, right? There's, I think, a joke that is told amongst kids, a riddle told amongst kids, right? What happens if you go blind in one eye if you see the coin? What happens if you do it a second time? You'll go blind in both eyes. What happens if you do it a third time?
Yeah.
There you go. You
can't. Third eye.
What?
In the third eye.
Right. You won't be able to do it a third time, Monsieur. Okay. Anyways. Right. Two other things. One is the Amor Lahem. So the Gemara, right, we've quoted this from the Torah Tamima, and actually is a din that the Chazan is supposed to say it to the Kohanim. Right? That's not just we do it to be nice to the Kohanim so they don't have to memorize it. That is actually learned out from the Sifri, from the Pasuk itself, Amor Lahem, which is a major difference from Tkiyas Shofar. So by Tkiyas Shofar, right, we have the Baal Makri kind of helping the Baal Tekeya along, but the Mishbura does get a little nervous about the about saying tekiya, the first tekiya is an issue because he's making the bracha, and then someone's saying tekiya, so that's in theory a hefsik, that's a separation between the bracha and the mitzvah itself. So the Mishnah Berurah, I believe the Mishnah Berurah kind of says okay, and then the Shaar Tzion, he says, but really it's best not to do it that way, and rather the Baal Tekeya can do the first tekiya without getting prompted to by the Baal Makri, which is what we do in our shul, and then the Baal Makri could pick up after the first tekiya. So they raise that as a distinction to here. Actually, the Mechaber seems to say, based on the Shita of the Rambam, that the Chazan would not say Yivarechacha in order not to have that Hefsik. But the rest of them he would do. And the Rama says, no, he could. The Rama says he should say Yivarech. Why do we get away with that? Because it's a fulfillment of Bekol Ram. Moral Ahem, to tell the Kohen to go and do the bracha. It's not just about prompting the Kohen and so he knows what to say. There's a fulfillment in the Kohen saying to them, which also is why the Chazan does not have to do it quietly. There's sometimes you might see the Chazan like do it quietly, Yivarech, right? So there isn't really a reason to do that. It is appropriate for the Chazan to do it loudly, because that's also fulfillment of the pasuk here. Finally, we're kind of out of time, but I just love the story. That is the Rama paskins that we only do Berchas Kohanim on Yontif. Why? Because we are besimcha. In fact, there's a question about non-married Kohanim doing Berchas Kohanim because they are not besimcha. That is how the Rama starts off. And then he says, and our minhag is that we only do it on Yontif, only Musaf on Yontif, right, which is also unique. Why we have to wait till Musaf on Yontif? Shachas should also be okay. The Mishnah Berurah rejects the idea of not doing it on Shabbos, meaning even when Yontif and Shabbos coincide, you should do it then. But there is, he gets into the reason why perhaps one would think that you wouldn't, and not so really applicable in our communities. But that is that. So there is a there have been movements over the years, and Sephardim, by the way, do it every day in theory. Sephardim recorded as doing it every day. In fact, the Mechaber gives himself a Yashar Koach that he was able to enact doing Berchas Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael and Egypt. And not just Israel, in Egypt as well, he did it because he felt it's not found in the Mechaber, this issue of not doing it on, of only doing it on Yontif. He feels that it should be done even during the week. There's a famous story in the Making of a Gadol, which I believe we've told before, but I don't really want to waste it on doing it quickly, so I'll have to share it another time. All right, have a good day.
In Eretz Yisrael,
they do it every day. In theory, they're b'simcha, they're b'shalom. Why? Probably, perhaps based on the... they take the lessons to heart of what Rabbi Shachman spoke about last night. About they perhaps have a different...